The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
Okay, I think that we're all finding our seats. Most everybody's got notebooks. If anybody else, just put your hand up. Heidi will find you. Okay. And Pat, I think I'm going to call you up. We have Pat Roy here from Creation Quest, and he is going to be teaching us about dinosaurs this morning, I believe.
Yeah. All right. All right. Good morning, guys. How are you doing? Awesome. You guys are so encouraging. Everybody's been asking me, how's it been going? And I say, I think this is like the most encouraging group of young people I've ever been with before. You guys are awesome. I love you guys. It's been really cool. By the way, I have been praying for you guys for months as we've been getting ready for this. So just know I've been praying for you guys. So, Mr. Carl asked me to remind you guys not to cut through the restaurant, to make sure to go around. So I promised him I'd tell you that. So there you go. All right, I'm going to pray, and then we'll do this thing. Dear Father, I thank you so much for these students. Father, I pray as we spend the day together, God, that you be glorified, and Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts today. Father, I pray that this would be just more than entertainment or passing the time along, but Father, that you would actually do something in each one of our hearts. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we later today are going to talk about more of the heart issues, because we've been talking apologetics, but before we do that, we have to have the talk, which is dinosaurs. Every creationist has to talk about dinosaurs, all right? So how many of you have heard so much about dinosaurs you could probably come up and teach this today? All right, can you come up and teach it? No, I'm just kidding you. I'm totally kidding. Are you serious? Okay. So, well, that's pretty impressive. You actually could teach this. All right, so here's the deal with this, is I know that as homeschoolers, you've probably heard dinosaurs. So probably for most of you, you've probably heard a lot of this. Maybe later in the talk, I'm hopefully going to tell you some things that you haven't heard before, but we got to do the standard dinosaur thing, so here we go. It's not playing, is it? There you go. My video is not playing. Oh, wait. Dinosaurs sound like a volcano. There you go. Yeah, exactly it. I do have the breath of a dragon and a dinosaur. All right, so Jurassic Park, when it came out, I was working at a place called the Institute for Creation Research, which was a team of scientists that were finding all kinds of scientific evidence to go with our faith. Matter of fact, if you've studied creation in your homeschool curriculum, it was probably the Institute for Creation Research that did a lot of the research that you're actually reading about in your stuff. So I was working at the Institute for Creation Research as the media director, and my job when Jurassic Park, the original movie, came out, clear back then, my job was to go out and make a documentary about the movie. So ICR wanted a documentary released. And so I was sitting around my desk one day thinking, well, what do I do to make a documentary? And I got this great idea that I was going to go out and interview people that were coming out of the movie. So I took my recording stuff down and I went down to the local movie theater and I started interviewing people that were coming out of the theater. And so the first person comes out of the theater and it was a somebody from my church. And I was like, oh, hey. So I said, I'm not going to interview them. I don't want to interview somebody from my church. So then the next person came out, and it was somebody else from my church. And somebody else came out, and they were from my church. You know what I realized? Was my church went to go see Jurassic Park, and they said, don't invite the creationist. So they left me out of it. So anyway, I'm sitting there waiting for somebody to come out, and finally another lady comes, and she was from my church, and I said, I'm just going to interview her anyway. So in my interview, as people were coming out, I asked this lady, how long ago did the dinosaurs live? And here's what she said, 65 million years ago. All righty. So then I asked her all kinds of other questions about what she thought about dinosaurs and what her favorite dinosaur was and all that kind of stuff. And then I asked her, how long ago did God create the earth? And she said, about 6,000 years ago, which means there was dinosaurs in space for about 64 million years, right? Now, what's funny is I get to do this all the time. This is my favorite trick when I'm talking to somebody. I do this all the time now, and it works out sometimes, so you can try it yourself. How long ago did dinosaurs live? 65 million years ago? And then wait a little bit, and then ask them how long ago God created the earth. And a lot of Christians will say 6,000 years, right? So it's kind of funny. And it kind of proves a point, because Christians don't know what to do with dinosaurs, so that's why we're going to talk about them today. But again, hopefully I'll teach you something new that you haven't heard. So what's the evolutionary idea of dinosaurs? Dinosaurs evolved into what? Birds. Okay, that makes a lot of sense, right? They look a lot alike, don't they? No, not really. It's really kind of an amazing story. I always think about, how did that work? Did like a dinosaur like jump off the cliff and he fell, and then like the next dinosaur jumped and went a little bit further, and then the next guy went a little bit further, and then eventually one started flapping. I don't know. It just seems like such an amazing story, right? So, but they believe that all these different dinosaur species evolved. Well, what's interesting is we've got all the different species of dinosaurs, but they really don't have any transitional fossils that are half one type of dinosaur and half the other. It seems like God made them so they were fully formed to be what they were. And of course, we don't really see a transition from dinosaurs to birds, which really isn't a surprise, right? So where did dinosaurs come from the Christian perspective, right? Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. Wait, so God made dinosaurs when? When were dinosaurs? What's that? Yes, on day six, right? When did he make man? On day six. Wow, dinosaurs and man together at the same time? If you tell an evolutionist this, this is their response to that. They don't believe it, right? So a lot of times when I talk to people and they go, man and dinosaurs living together, there's no way the dinosaurs would kill all of the people. Let me ask you a question. Are there any animals on planet Earth right now that would kill you? Yeah. Like what? Your cat? Okay, that sounds like a real problem, actually. So do you like stalk around your house just seeing the cat and you just like run? He just tries to kill you. Okay, that sounds like a fun pet to have, actually. So polar bears, okay. How about sharks? Tigers. Okay, is there anybody in this room that just hangs out with sharks? Oh, okay, we've actually got some people back here. Or just hangs out with bears. Does anybody sleep like in a bear den or anything? Okay, back there. Yeah, you know what? If there's an animal that's just going to kill you, except for somebody with a cat, who should remain unnamed, you don't hang out with the animals, right? Because they're going to kill you. So probably if there's dinosaurs and man, they're probably just not, you know, hanging out at the same spots, I would imagine. So dragon legends. I know you guys have heard this as homeschoolers, that there's lots of dragon legends. Could it be that dragon legends were actually about dinosaurs? And Answers in Genesis produced this cool little video that I thought I would play for you that talks all about that. Oh, that's true. So she's pointing out that before sin happened, that animals and people got along. Excellent point. But then after the fall, think about then all of a sudden you've got all the animals are now predatory and predator-prey relationships and all. Yes, all very good points. Those are excellent. Yes? Yes, you are correct. You were totally right. Good job. You guys are on it. See, I told you you guys would know a lot about this. All right, here we go. So turn in your journals, and what evidence is there that man and dinosaurs lived at the same time? Just jot down a couple thoughts. Some of you guys are so fast. It's awesome. Okay, I think most of you are done. All right, so here we go. Dinosaurs in the Bible. I'm going to cruise through all this because I've got cooler things to share. So there are places where the word tanim, which is serpent, dragon, is in the word. He talked about behemoth, and its tail is not an elephant. It is funny when you look at a Bible, and in the little footnotes they go, oh, behemoth was probably an elephant, or a rhino, but their tail isn't like a cedar tree. You got Leviathan. By the way, isn't it cool that he breathed fire out of his mouth? Could God do that? Yeah, God could do anything. But it's kind of cool when you look at the bombardier beetle, which has these little tanks that mix together chemicals and blows hot stuff out his back end. If God can do that with a beetle, could he make a dragon that breathes out fire? Yeah, no problem, right? Okay, how do you date a dinosaur bone? So really quickly, here, let me back up and talk about that for just a minute. So I used to go to this big fair in Oregon down in the States, and we would have a big old dinosaur feed. Yes. You know, some people, instead of dating dinosaur bones, believe that you ought to court dinosaur bones. Good job, buddy. All right, so I used to have this big old dinosaur femur that we would take to a big old fair, a secular fair. It was actually like a fair, and there was 100,000 people that came to this fair. And evolutionists would come up, and I would talk to them about the dinosaur, because I would say, hey, we believe this was only thousands of years ago. And they go, that thing's millions of years old. And I'd go, well, how do you know? How do they date a dinosaur bone? I'm not quite sure. Carbon dating? No, carbon dating can only probably go back about 50,000 years. You wouldn't even use carbon dating on a dinosaur bone. Would you date the rock layer that's near it? No, because dinosaur bones are in sediment rock, which is made up of a bunch of mixed up rocks from all over the place, so you couldn't really date that. You know, there's no direct way to date a dinosaur fossil. Usually what they do is they find a rock somewhere else that they can date, and they say that rock is the same age as the layer that the dinosaur fossil's in, so they take that rock date and apply it to the rocks that are there, and then they apply that to the dinosaur bone. There's no direct way to date a dinosaur fossil unless, wait, maybe there is. And this is usually what I would tell them at the fair when I was talking to these evolutionists. And that's dinosaur fossil. Dinosaur soft tissue. How many of you guys have heard all about this? So I'm going to tell you my personal story that was kind of fun. Was this is Dr. Mary Schweitzer. She is the first one to find soft tissue in a dinosaur. I'm sure that you've heard all about that. And so clear back in the day, I was working at the Institute for Creation Research as the media broadcast guy, and my job was to take all the scientific discoveries being made in the creation movement, and it was my job to turn those into media productions to get the word out to people. And one day, I came across this article. In 1991, the article was published, and I got to come over here because I can't read from over there. So I came across this magazine article that was just like kind of a random thing I just came across. 1991, a team from Montana State University Museum found an almost complete T-Rex. When the team brought the fossil into the lab, we noticed that some parts deep inside the long bone of the leg had not completely fossilized. The lab filled with murmurs of amazement, for I had focused on something inside the vessels that none of us had ever noticed before. Tiny round objects, translucent red with a dark center. Then a colleague took one look at them and shouted, "You've got red blood cells! You've got red blood cells!" So now, as the media guy working at the Institute for Creation Research, this is like the most amazing story ever, right? And I'm like, why haven't I ever heard of this before? And so I'm like amazed. And so I start trying to track down, because when you are a media producer, you need to make sure that you have several sources so that you know that you're telling the truth about things. You don't want to just go off of one story, right? So I tried to track down this magazine, and by the time I got to it, this magazine had gone out of business. And I was like bummed out. So then I started to find other places that reported this, and I found zero. And finally I said to myself, I am so bummed out because this is such an amazing story that the world needs to know about, but I can't verify the sources anywhere. And so I was really bummed out at the time. And then one day I was in the shower where I get all my great ideas. You guys do? I don't know what it is about the shower. You're just in there and then you go, aha! So anyway, I'm in the shower and all of a sudden I go, why don't I just call them? Wow, brilliant. So I did all the research and found the number of the lab, and I called the lab, and I think I ended up talking to the colleague that took one look at them. And I'm like, hey, I saw this magazine article in Earth Magazine about you guys finding red blood cells. Did that really happen? And the guy goes, yeah. And I went, really? I said, you think you saw red blood? Yeah. I go, so what happened with it after that? He goes, well, yeah, we put it on a shelf. I said, okay. I said, don't you think like this is really big news? He goes, well, yeah, I personally think it's like the biggest. And I go, but you guys aren't really doing much with it? He goes, no, not really. And so I hung up the phone and I went, okay, now I've talked to the horse's mouth, right? I talked to the guy who looked through this thing. And so for the Institute for Creation Research, we made all kinds of radio programs, and we shouted it out to a whole bunch of radio stations all around the nation. So how amazing is it, somebody coming up with red blood cells? I mean, how often would that happen, right? It actually happened again with Dr. Schweitzer again. She found a second discovery, but when they made the second discovery, that one made national news.
That dinosaur discovery. The scientific world is still reeling from the discovery of actual Tyrannosaurus rex cells and soft tissue unearthed last week at a Montana excavation site. It's a tremendous find that scientists say could unlock the mysteries of extinction and could one day lead to real-life dinosaur cloning. Well, maybe.
Well, North Carolina State University professor Mary Schweitzer is the leader of the discovery team that found these extraordinary specimens. She joins us now from Raleigh with more. Nice to see you, Professor.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us, how significant a discovery is this?
Well, it has the potential to be very significant, but for right now, until we do further analyses, I think all we can say is it's really cool.
Well, Professor, as I understand it, this was sort of an...
All right, we got better things to do, believe it or not, so I'm going to kill that. She goes on in the interview and says, totally unexpected, we're going to have to rewrite the book on evolution. We don't quite understand how this possibly could happen. I mean, I got to be honest with you, finding red blood cells in a dinosaur bone like rocked their world. Since then, there have been we're up to 16 now. There have been 16 discoveries of soft tissues. And guess what? It's the only direct way to date a dinosaur bone. You can't date the bone itself. You can't date the sediment around it. But what you can do is say, if there is soft tissue inside a dinosaur bone, that stuff can only last thousands of years, and you know what? They don't really have a good explanation for that. Yes?
Prior to finding the soft tissue, was she a patient or
evolution? Okay, Dr. Mary Schweitzer is a super interesting person. She used to be a mom, and then one day she wanted to be a paleontologist. She's a Christian, but she believes in evolution. She says your religion should be in one folder, your science should be in another folder. If you mix the two of them, it'll ruin your science and ruin your religion. So she's a full-on evolutionist. She is not a young earth creationist. I would not even say she's a creationist, really. So she is a very super interesting person. So, all right, so Mark Armitage was the first creationist to discover soft tissue, and it's really cool. It was in this movie, which I'm going to pass on that because, like I said, we got cooler things to do. All right, so here's the question on everybody's mind is, what killed the dinosaurs? That's the big question, right? Was it an asteroid? Was it climate change? Did they not have enough food? All of that. By the way, the big one nowadays is the asteroid, right? But guess what? They found out that the asteroid and the extinction of the dinosaurs, according to their time, are millions of years apart. So that idea now, scientists don't even believe that anymore. But movies and textbooks and people still think that that's the best evidence for it. But even the scientists have now rejected that. You know what I think killed the dinosaurs? Most of them is the flood.
We see these dinosaur graveyards all over the place. Okay, I got all that out of the way. Here's what I really wanted to talk to you about. So Sandy and I, my wife and I, we wanted to make a story that would reach young people with the creation message. And so we started thinking about what kind of a story, and we were both radio people, and so we said we were going to make a radio drama, and that went on to be Jonathan Park. And so basically what we said is if you're going to make a story for young people, you got to have caves, you got to have a dog, you got to have dinosaurs, right, and you got to have adventure. And so I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said, hey, if we were going to make a story about dinosaur graveyards, what dinosaur graveyard would you go to? And he said, Pat, there was a dinosaur graveyard that is so awesome, but no creationists really talk about it. It's a place called Ghost Ranch, New Mexico. And so my wife and I, we decided that we were going to go do some research at Ghost Ranch, New Mexico. So just so you know how romantic I am, on Valentine's weekend, we packed up our car to go to Ghost Ranch, and we were driving from San Diego to Ghost Ranch, New Mexico, which was like a very long drive. And so now New Mexico, Ghost Ranch, New Mexico, is a high desert, so we figured that that meant warm weather. Of course, the word desert is in high desert. So we didn't realize, it was in February, right? So it's a Valentine's Day. We froze, and the heater was broken in our car, and we didn't take coats, and so we like froze, and so we drove like from hot chocolate stand to hot chocolate stand, and we drove and we drove and we drove, and we made it to Ghost Ranch, New Mexico. Now, here's the deal, is we left on Friday morning, and I had to be back at the Institute for Creation Research on Monday, so we drove and we drove and we drove, and we got there just as the museum at Ghost Ranch was closing. Literally, as we were walking up like the little walkway to their little facility, they turned it over to the "We're closed" sign. So I did something that every mature Christian would do, as I stood right outside the door and I went, "Oh no! I drove all the way from San Diego to here and we didn't make it. I can't believe they're closed. I can't believe it. Valentine's weekend, so romantic, dinosaurs, and now it's closed." Was that a real mature way to do that? No. I needed a spanking, didn't I? But God is so good, because the receptionist unlocks the door and opens the door and goes, "I'm so sorry, sir. Did you drive from a long ways to get here?" "Oh, yeah. How did you know?" She goes, "Would you like to come in? One of our paleontologists is still here." One of their paleontologists was still there. I got to talk to the paleontologist. It was so cool, because I knew what he was going to say because I had already done my research. But we got inside. By the way, let me show you real quick. So here's here are the dinosaurs that are there. They're called Coelophysis dinosaurs. Basically, what they think happened there at, well, I'll tell you what he said. Is basically talking to the evolutionary paleontologist, he said that there was about 10,000 Coelophysis dinosaurs that were eating a bunch of meat, and they were so busy eating the meat that they didn't notice that the Shama River behind them overflowed its banks, picked up all 10,000 dinosaurs, buried them, ripped them back up, slammed them against the cliff, buried them very rapidly, and fossilized all of them. That's what he said. By the way, here's what a Coelophysis looks like with its skin on. At least that's what they think it looks like. Now, when I walked inside and I was talking to this paleontologist, there was this huge chunk of sediment inside, and it looked like you put a bunch of dinosaurs into a blender, and then you poured them out into this block of sediment. That's what it looked like. Matter of fact, here's a picture of me long after. This was another time that I went to Ghost Ranch, and you'll get a chance to see the block of sediment that's there. Now, these things, there's like claws here and a head here, and there's like a tail. And the paleontologist, it was so cool. He goes, "Come over and check this out." He goes, "See this one?" He goes, "This one is a species of dinosaur that hasn't even been named yet." And I was like, "Oh, that is so cool." So anyway, there is that chunk of sediment with all those dinosaurs. Now, this guy went on, the main paleontologist that was there was a guy by the name of Dr. Edwin Colbert, and he put together a list of reasons that these dinosaurs were killed by water, all right? So first he says, water deposited mud surrounding fossils, all right? So that's one of the reasons that he knows that it was water. Deposits were ripped up and redeposited. That means the water, like, literally slammed them down, buried them, ripped them back up again, and then slammed them against the cliffs. Fossils show little signs of exposure or decay, which indicates rapid burial. In other words, they're not sitting out there for a long period of time. They got buried very quick. Necks of many are unnaturally backward. No evidence of trampling, which means, you know, the dinosaurs didn't have a chance to, like, run from whatever was coming. It, like, just took them out. Transported into place after death. So the water event killed the dinosaurs first and then buried them. Some skeletons have the same directional orientation. Actually, that should actually say most of the skeletons have the same directional orientation, which says that it was a large flood current that actually buried those dinosaurs there. So that's pretty cool. So that is great evidence at Ghost Ranch that a huge amount of water killed these things. Now, in his book, Dr. Robert Colbert, actually said this last thing in his book, which I think is kind of funny. One final comment, the mass death and burial of Coelophysis was almost certainly a local catastrophe and was not part of a broad extinction of reptiles that marked the end of the Triassic to Jurassic history. You know what he's saying is, hey, Christians, don't get too excited about this. This wasn't the flood. This was just a local event. You know the problem with that? The layer that these guys are in is called the Shinley Formation, and it stretches over 100,000 square miles. Does that sound like a little tiny river? No, it totally sounds like it was evidence for the flood, right? So check it out. When I came home, I was so excited. I went back to the Institute for Creation Research, and I took my media team, and we began checking out what they were saying about all of the different sites around the United States. And I'm just going to blow through these real quick. This is what the evolutionists say about these different sites, all right? So San Juan Basin, evolutionists claim these dinosaurs lived in a river floodplain. Over here, Kirkland Formation, deposited in mudstone. If we go to Colorado, Fruita Quarry gives evidence of being shaped by water flow. It's interesting, Riggs Hill, they found mammals? And crocodiles along with the dinosaurs. Dry Mesa Quarry, River Channel. Go to Arizona, buried with fish and turtles. Petrified forest, the entire system was a floodplain. Let's see, Howe Quarry laid down in sandstone, which is water. Lance Creek Formation found fish, frogs, salamanders. They think it was a coastal plain. Como Bluff was an ancient floodplain. Take a look at Utah. Deposited in an ancient riverbed down at the bottom in a layer of limey mudstone. Go to Montana. They believe at Two Medicine Formation, it was covered by a sea at one time. At Hell Creek, it was a very quick burial that could only happen rapidly from a catastrophe. Willow Creek, one time the area contained lake sediments. And so when you start looking at all these, you start going, wow, every single dinosaur graveyard is water, 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 water. And then I checked out the European dinosaur graveyards, water, 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 water. And then China, water, 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 water was involved, right? So think about this. They're trying to figure out what killed the dinosaurs, and there are so many different versions of it, but you know what? I am not a paleontologist. I'm not even a scientist. I'm just a guy who loves creation. But if it was water that killed them here, water that killed them here, water that killed them here, water that killed them there, water, 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 water. You know what I think killed the dinosaurs? Water. Yeah. Kind of strange, huh? You know, the cool thing about this is the evidence clearly shows that these dinosaurs, most of them were killed by a worldwide flood. Isn't that awesome? So I run into Christians all the time to go, hey, you can't talk about dinosaurs because that's like evolution and like the devil and all that stuff. I've had people say that, but you know what I think? Is I think the dinosaurs are great evidence that the biblical account is totally true, right? is we see great evidence for that. Yes? How the water, well, so some of them probably survived afterwards because we've got Leviathan that Job wrote about afterwards. But I imagine, can you imagine, it wasn't just little calm seas. Imagine, there was tsunamis going on and fountains of the great deep and all that stuff. I think a lot of the marine fossils, I mean marine animals, including those were probably killed during that huge catastrophe that was going on. I mean, it was a huge event. Yeah. Yeah, I gotcha. That's true. Yep, he makes a good point. Did you guys hear what he said? Some people place Job before the flood. Most creationists believe that he lived after the flood. But yes, you're right. I've heard people say that before. Good job. Okay, so I brought some dinosaur fossils with me. If you ask me what species they are, I will tell you I have no idea. Remember how I told you that we're shooting a whole bunch of videos when I get back home? So my friend sent me some dinosaur fossils just to have on the table to look good during the video shoot. So they're dinosaur fossils. I just don't know what they are. Okay, we're doing a Q&A. That's cool. Yes. What do I think Leviathan was? I think it was a water-based type of dragon type of thing. Your thoughts? A what? By the way, that's just my opinion, right? I'm not a paleontologist, so please take what I say with about that much. Okay, there's like hands going up. Yes, that's true. People do. But I think there's enough references to me. To me, it seems like he's something real, right? Because God's basically saying, Job, who are you? I've created these amazing creatures, right? So to me, it seems like he's pointing out a real creature. Okay, what if we go like these three and then we'll... Well, I think when we look at the bombardier beetle, you see two... Did you know the bombardier beetle? Do you know about it? Okay, so it's so cool. It has these two chambers of chemicals that it mixes together, and it has to have other chemicals to keep him from blowing up. But he actually mixes some chemicals together, and it blows hot stuff out his back end. So, I know, a lot like eating at Taco Bell. Oh, sorry, shouldn't have said that. Okay, sorry, should not have said it. But I think God could probably put together a creature that does that same type of thing, right? That mixes together some chemicals. Yes. Yes, we find lots of them, and not only dinosaur bones, but a lot of them are mixed in with, like I said, mammals and lungfish and all kinds of other creatures. Matter of fact, it looks like the flood was just coming across the continent, picking them up, picking up a bunch of other animals, mixing them together, ripping them apart, slamming them down, and burying them very quickly. Okay, I was going to go here next, and then we'll end off with you, okay? So you'll be our grand finale. All right. Yes? Yeah, great question. She said, so if the flood killed the dinosaurs and then Noah took dinosaurs on the ark, how's that all work out? Is that kind of like what you were asking? Okay, cool. So here's what I think is that most dinosaurs probably died during the flood because we find tons of them in the fossil record. Okay, so those are all the ones that died. I think Noah took dinosaurs on the ark, and then probably after the flood, they probably lived for a while and then died out. That's what most creationists say. Okay, you're our grand finale. And then if you want to, you can come up and talk to me afterwards. Does that sound good? Okay. Oh, you mean that it could come out and above the water? Yeah, you know, I believe so, but remember, I'm nobody. So don't take my answer for anything. How's that sound? All right, so here we go. Last journal entry. What evidence is there that dinosaurs were deposited during the worldwide flood? Oh, one last thing I want to do. So write that in, and then I've got one last thing to share with you. All right, I'll talk and you listen while you're writing. How's that sound? So you know why all of this is important, by the way? And again, I think probably a bunch of you probably could have come up here and actually taught this lesson. But here's the reason why this is important. Think about it. As Christians, there is so much evidence that goes with our faith. And think about what dinosaurs mean, and when we look at dinosaur graveyards and we see proof for the worldwide flood, that means there was a worldwide flood, which means that that account is true, and that means that there was a real Noah. And can you imagine what the real Noah was doing? Matter of fact, the Bible says that he was a preacher of righteousness. Can you imagine? Noah was probably out there preaching while the ark was being built. Can you imagine him out there going, "People, listen to me. There's a judgment coming. You need to get into the ark. Judgment is coming." Oh, that crazy old Noah building a big old boat out here on the plain. That guy's crazy. Judgment is coming. Well, we're supposed to be doing the same thing, right? We're supposed to be preachers of righteousness because we know that judgment is coming, and it's not just a joke, just like the real one happened with the flood. The other judgment is coming, and it's our job to be preachers of righteousness and to try and get the word out. And that's super important. Matter of fact, let's end off with that. I'm going to switch to one last journal entry. How can you be a preacher of righteousness like Noah? How can you be a preacher of righteousness like Noah? Okay, so this last question is a great question, and we've been talking apologetics, but when we come back next time, we're going to start talking about that. So we're going to get kind of away from the apologetics and talk more about living our purpose and living our mission in life. So if you guys can start switching your brain over from a bunch of dinosaur creation facts, and we're going to start talking more about the heart and what our purpose is, okay? So if you guys could get ready for that, that would be awesome. I'm going to pray for you guys real quick, and then I guess we'll be back in half an hour, right? All right. Dear Father, thank you so much just that we can read in your word. We read about a flood, and then, Father, we can go out and see layers and fossils and to see that what you told us in your word is true. And God, thank you so much for the account of Noah and how Noah was ready to look like a fool in front of the rest of the world to do what you asked him to do, and that he was a preacher of righteousness. And Father, I pray that you would help us to do the same. Father, help us to care about the lost so much that we'd be willing to be preachers of righteousness, Father. God, I pray that you would prepare our hearts over the next half hour to get us ready to come back. I just pray these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. All right, you can see the dinosaurs of unknown species on the table there.
Once again, the Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording. Please visit them at learninghouse.ca.